speaking on Hajamil Kanda, and very interesting topic, sort of focus of the discussion, and let me start with the background that here the Yamaduras are defending in the presence of the Vishnudutas why it was that they're taking away this man, Ajamil. And the Vishnudutas is asking, alright, tell me, what are the principles of religion? On what authority are you punishing this person? And they give, they start off with a verse, Veda Dharma Tito Dharmo, Veda Dharma Tito Dharmo, and so on. That Dharma is the teachings of the Vedas. Vedas come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, and we've heard all these things from Swayambhu, from Yamaraj. So they made very authentic statements, quoting scripture. Who is the speaker of the scripture, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how did they understand the explanations of that shastra? Well, they understood it from self-realized soul, from Yamaraj. So what they were saying was authoritative. But when they finished talking, then the Vishnu Guru say, oh boy, how horrible. And they start off by saying, how is it that in the name of Dharma, people are speaking irreligion, which obviously much of really shocked the Yamaduras. And of course, while the whole concentration or the focus of this pastime is Ajamil, but other players and for whom the whole pastime is a real experience are the Yamadutas themselves. These particular Yamadutas are special. They're getting some special lessons. They're seeing Vishnudutas face to face. No one had ever seen them before. And they're going to get some further understanding over and above that which they'd gotten up to now, both from the Vishnudutas and then later on from Yamaraj himself. But back to Ajamil. So what is it that the Vishnudutas say? The Vishnudutas say that this person has chanted the name of Narayana, and therefore he's beyond punishment. He's already been relieved of the results of his past sinful activities. Ajamil committed many, many sinful activities. But now all of those sinful activities have been wiped away. So since he's no longer culpable for his past, then how can you take him away for punishment? What's there to punish? He's an innocent man. And therefore they say, and therefore now, in the name of religion, irreligion is being practiced. So the interesting point here in the topic which we're discussing is that here there are truths. What the Vishnudutas, the Yamadutas say is true. What the Vishnudutas say is also true. But what the Vishnudutas say is a higher truth than what the Yamadutas are also saying, because the Yamadutas are working on the basis of religious principles, whereas the Vishnudutas are working on the basis of transcendental principles as well. Now, we're not strangers to these different levels of truths. For instance, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins by making the recommendation, yes, practice spontaneous pure devotional service. But if you can't do that, then practice regulated devotional service. And if you can't do that, well, then work for Krishna. And if you can't do that, then just be a philanthropist. So he gives different alternatives. All of them are true. but according to the time, the place, the circumstance, and the people involved, of course, a different truth may apply to different persons. And that then becomes a very relevant consideration in our own practice of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes devotees argue on saying, "Oh, no, this is right and that is wrong." However, the wrong may not be completely wrong, it just may be wrong according to the circumstance. Another example, which I've just been reading recently, is that of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. And here's a similar example. Durvasa Muni wants to punish Maharaj Ambarish because he's disrespected a Brahmin. And Maharaj Ambarish had to break the Kadasi. Meanwhile, Durvasa Muni, before taking his meal, he was bathing, and the time for breaking his Kadasi was passing. So Ambarish Maharaj drank some water, which is both breaking and not breaking a fast. So when Durvasa Muni came back, and he discerned that his host had already, quote-unquote, eaten before he did, he cursed him. And, of course, created this demon. But then the Sudarshan Chakra came to protect Maharaj Ambarish, and Durvasa Muni started fleeing everywhere. Went to Lord Brahma, went to Lord Shiva. They couldn't help him. Finally, he went to Lord Narayan, who then spoke very wonderful, very beautiful words, which I mentioned in a previous podcast. But he told in the commentary, particularly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, there's a parallel conversation between the Lord and Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni says, but he committed a sin. He ate before a Brahmin ate, before his own guest ate. So isn't he liable for punishment? And the Lord then says, Durvasa, you don't really understand the principles of religion. Why? Because you're not a pure devotee. He said, what you're saying may be correct. Yes, a host should not eat before his guest, and that's an offense. But there's something else going on here, and that is the proper observance of a Kadasi and Dwadasi vow, breaking a Dwadasi vow. What is a Kadasi and Dwadasi? It's pure devotional service. It's service to the Supreme Lord. Ambarish Maharaj isn't fasting in order to lose weight. He's not fasting in order to get some type of material benediction. He's just trying to please the Supreme Lord. So in between the two, the observance of Dwadasi and not eating or not even drinking some water before a Brahmin guest, the latter has higher priority. In other words, it's a greater truth. And he says, so then the Lord tells Ambarish, so you don't understand this greater truth. And you don't understand it because you don't understand the absolute truth in whole. You're seeing certain brahminical principles, you have certain understanding and realization, but not being actually a pure devotee, being a brahmavadi, therefore you don't really know that when it comes to truth, or greater truth, or greatest truth, you don't know which one applies. And for that reason, taking into consideration the time and circumstance, you falsely punished Ambarish Maharaj. And of course then the other lesson, or the real lesson here in this Ambarish Vila is that when one commits a Vaishnava Aparad, even Krishna can't help that person. Unless one gets forgiveness from a Vaishnava, then more or less he's doomed to suffer the results, the reaction to that offense, which in this case was death for Udravasa Muni. So it took Ambarish Maharaj to pray to the Sudarshan Chakra to leave Durvasa Muni alone. The Lord wasn't willing to tell Sudarshan Chakra to desist. It had to be Ambarish Maharaj. So different types of truth, different levels of truth, these things are discerned. And as in this latter example, as the Lord says, only pure devotees actually really understand. So sometimes we may argue about what's right, but ultimately the truth, dharmam hitatvam yuta guhaya mahajano yena gatasa panta, is discernible by pure devotees, by very advanced devotees, as to which truth applies under which circumstance. Hare Krishna.